Okay, this is Greg Frederick for Jim Licklider. I'm trying to come up with words just to do the intro. I think probably as it's just hitting me now, literally just awe and wonder. I think it's just looking at your story and what you've come through and where you are today. And in part that's awe and wonder at you. And also awe and wonder at the Father and what He's done with you and through you. It's a hell of a story. And where you are today based on that story is pretty phenomenal. And if we have time later, I can share. If not, I know some people are leaving. But I would say that's probably only one other person, and that's my wife, who has as challenging of a journey and has come out. I think what was it, in Shawshank Redemption, he crawled through 500 miles of shit and came out the other end and smelled like roses or whatever the saying was in that Shawshank movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's... amen. I mean, that's how I end that. All these are tied together, one word sort of descriptions. You're a restorer. You're a fighter. You're a perseverer. You are resilient. You're a romancer. You are deep and contemplative. You are a settled son. You are a worshiper, like we shared earlier. And you are courageous and strong. And all that was just interwoven a lot into your story and some of your pictures as well. But just the story of when you were a kid and the room and getting drugged and trying to just find freedom and peace and serenity, willing to jump out of a car to not have to face this and that, and and then everything with what was going on with your wife, and just that battle. But everything was in there. You fought. You're restored. You're working to restore others. You persevered. You're resilient. I mean, just it's everything's in there, and just your deep heart desire for romance with a woman, but I think it's also just continued romance, because I think it's there with the Father. I think there's a dance that you guys are dancing and have been dancing, and I know that you're going to continue it. And I think you see that with the Father, and I think some of your pictures sort of emulate that, like the mystery one. I mean, that's hauntingly cool to me. I mean, I was drawn to that when you showed that. What's not true about you, I struggled with this a little bit, but the main thing, and again, I don't think you're here now, not to say that the enemy is not going to try to, you know, use an old play on you now or in the future, but you had mentioned when you were a kid, because of the situation with that and then with your wife, like you had no voice. And I know that you do have a voice, and we've heard it all weekend that you do have a voice. So I just want to affirm that in the moment, if there is one in the future where you feel like I don't have a voice, to be reminded of what we share that you do, because it's been evident all the way through. But I know for all of us that sometimes those old things can come back and re-speak to us, those old tapes. So as a way to fight against that, like having your radar up to say, anytime I kind of hear anything in the zip code of I don't have a voice or a choice or whatever it is, fight against that, rebuke it. Your brilliance and your splendor is that you're a rescuer. And I think partly that was what you had to do for yourself. And I'll mention it later too, but I think that was kind of tied with... You had mentioned just a moment ago, you don't like mistreatment. You know, you had a truckload of mistreatment, so you know what it's like. And just a compassionate heart to see that in other people and say, I recognize mistreatment over here, and I want to do something about it. Like, that's honorable and noble and valiant, and strong and courageous to step up to do that. So you're a rescuer. You're a healer. And I think these are in a way that I kind of said with him, the ways that you bear his image. You bear his image as a healer and as a rescuer. I also put down a guardian. And I wrote next to restore, to make new. You worked really diligently to make yourself new, and you allowed the Father to make yourself new, and you even shared a story about your own Father being made new. So I know you've got a lot of history of old to new, something that was dinged and dented and scratched and damaged and restored to its original mint condition, so to speak. And you've done that, and you've seen that in your Father. So on the heels of that brilliance and splendor, and again, everybody was different. I think I wrote more descriptive stuff for the other guys, but just names came to me for you. And one was David from the Bible. And my mind went to young David, all that he had to do to guard and protect the sheep and lead them. He was trained and prepared and ready for that moment with Goliath because of all that he did before. There was a lot of, you know, rough living that he had to go through. But that was purposeful, and it was purposeful for his main mission in life. Whatever that quote was we heard earlier, all this was built for this moment kind of thing, or whatever that, I'm messing that up. So that portion of David just jumped out at me. And I don't remember the character name, but it was from the movie Les Miserables. And the guy, the one of the main characters, he's put in jail, but then he's restored. But he's a guy that recognized injustice, because by the end of the movie, the girl prostitute, he fought for her. I mean, it was a really powerful scene, if you guys have not seen that movie. Jean Valjean, thank you. And just what he did towards the end of that movie to help restore that woman, and he nursed her and he cared for her, and it was just astonishing, and that just jumped out. And then when I had Guardian and I jotted a few things down, and what I did with David in Les Mis, right back to Guardian, is you're Michael, the Archangel. He was a protector. He was the guardian. And as I said, you're a guardian as well. And he was kind of the captain of the angels. And he battled. He battled, you know, somebody mentioned Daniel a little bit ago. And Michael was the one that finally came to set things right and get the message from Daniel. And then what may come against you is just proper rest and recovery, as you mentioned being war-torn. So if for all of us, it's so easy just to jump into, I've got a passion, a desire, that thing's right there, I'm going to run and go, and maybe so. But we got to walk with the Lord and the Holy Spirit and let Him be the one to say, when's the time? So I just think whatever that proper rest and recovery is for you, because of being war-torn, could be something that comes against you to keep you from all that you wanted. And then just something that's, and it's not saying that you are these things because you're not impatient, but I just put patience with wise choices regarding who you're choosing for a future mate, because I know you spent a fair amount of time with your sharing your desire of having a wife and having a family and all that, and that's a wonderful desire to have. And again, I was ended up single for, first married in 2000, divorced early 2002, and I just remarried 3 years ago, so there's a large chunk of time in between. I'm not saying that you need to have that, obviously, chunk of time, but waiting for the right one, which I know you are, and letting it be God's chosen daughter for you. And that was just also piggybacked on a few things you shared at dinner. Not really sure if this one is or isn't, and just kind of, you know, unsure. I'm not saying she's not, but we're just unsure right now. So I would want for you to make the right decision, to know that keeping in touch and just on down the road, this is the one, Greg, whoever she is, the current one or somebody else, like, that would make me very happy. So those are the things I think that come against you. Yeah.
This is Bob Lord for Jim Lechleiter. And Jim, it's been truly an honor to meet you. The first thing I wrote was, your story reminds me of a story of prison, of the Pathan Death March, or John McCain's imprisonment. You're truly a hero. The bravery that just to get through that is so incredible. And the bravery to recover as much as you have and be the wise and gentle and caring man you are is just so admirable. It's just an honor to have met you. And and then to fall back into another prison sentence with your marriage and the willingness to hang in there and do everything you could until it was truly non-recoverable. And the wisdom you and gentleness that you showed during that time. I just pray that your ex-wife someday sees that. I know you don't know that that's possible, but all things are possible with God. And we don't know where that goes. But, part of that journey is still your kids and protecting them. We talked a little bit about that, walking up the hill, and that's such a huge responsibility. What's true about you is gentleness and wisdom, insight. You've got amazing insight into people. You really see things that are much deeper than what's displayed on the surface, and you're articulate. You really can say things so well and so clearly. And, that breeds right to your counseling desires and your $10 million that should you spend that where that would benefit. And as Greg said, you're definitely a romantic. And that's important. That romance is both sacred and earthly is a wonderful place to be. and Greg also said that you're just out of this. You're in an okay place to recharge, and I think you know that. I think you're gently moving forward with things. Like you said, you're not sure about the girl you're dating, and I know your job is a job at the moment, and that's okay. To be in a place of recharge is an okay place to be. God tells us that He's a lamp under our feet, and we do the best we can today. And His plans for tomorrow. I just sense that He puts you through those trials to make you who you are because He has plans for you. Greg talked a little bit about David. And, my sense of your David story would be after he slayed Goliath and after Saul pretty much condemned him to death, and his time in the wilderness, and his crying out to God, and I think you've just come through that period. So rest and recovery is certainly a major agenda item for you. Obviously, the desires of your heart are clear. An Ezra Conegdo, a partner. And seeking that person is half the fun. Meeting wonderful, wonderful women is a blast. And just because one's not the one doesn't mean they're not a wonderful person to get to know and be around and be friends with. You'll know it when it comes. I've tried long engagements, I've tried short engagements, and I've tried everything in between. My wife and I were married 6 months, and she's the love of my life, absolutely. There's no rules. Cole was 6 years, right? pretty close.
Yeah, I think pretty near that.
One thing I didn't get, until I saw your organization, your $10 million thing, I really didn't understand beyond that desire for a spouse in your life. And that may be there. Obviously, counseling and fitness are big parts of your life today. And I think you've got a lot to offer in that world. As I say, your wisdom and insight is incredible, and that may very well be a path for you. Who you are, who you truly are, is a very gentle, wise, giving, caring, loving human being. And it's a pleasure to have met you. I think you very much know you're a beloved son. I think that's definitely heart knowledge for you, and that's a huge step. You're definitely a lover of people, which is amazing all by itself, having come through what you've come through. And I think you will be an amazing soulmate with that person that is in your future. The assaults, I agree with Greg. Time and speed, pace and peace and solitude and prayerful consideration. And and when the drop zone comes, jump. you know, it's a combination of being patient and decisive at the same time. And I really think that you've got that. I think you've got that in your heart. So, thank you.
Still got the red light on.
It is still on. This is Cole Phillips for Jim Licklider. Jim, I think you were one of the first two people I met here that was not with my group. Jim Chenet pulled me aside and said, "Hey, it's time for you to start meeting people," and it happened to be you and your friend Joe. These kinds of things can be difficult for me because I don't like meeting new people in uncomfortable situations. So I would not have otherwise chosen to talk to you. In fact, I will offer a little bit of confession right now because this is a safe place to confess. I think of myself as a relatively compassionate and tender person, but when I'm in my false self, I'm also a very judgmental person. And upon seeing you at first, what I noticed was this is a fit, good-looking young man with the salt and pepper hair and the chiseled jaw, very confident in himself, and he's probably an ass. And I have been proven very wrong.
I've been given that stigma many times.
But I'm so delighted to have been proven wrong, and will work in my own heart to not be judgmental so quickly. But it's been a pleasure to know you so far. What I wrote, things that are true of you, that you're settled, that you're strong, that you're healed from your fear of abandonment and many other things, it sounds like, that you're hopeful, that you're a romantic, that you are a hopeful romantic, that you're not a poser, which is delightful. It's delightful to meet people that genuinely come across as not posing, and I haven't felt like you have. That's refreshing. It's like a drink of cool water. And the last thing I wrote that's true of you is that you're not bitter. And given the mess that your life has been through, that's astonishing. You've seen some things that would take people out, and it sounds like you've seen a bunch of things, each of which would take people out. And that you don't come across as a bitter, cynical, self-focused prick is just, I love it. Like, you, that smile is genuine and it's good, and your eyes are warm. You have a heart that cares about people. I can hear that when you talk about your kids. Even when you spoke about your marriage last night, I didn't hear anything that sounded like hatred toward your ex-wife. And that's great. I wrote that some of your glory, I can't encapsulate the whole thing, but some of it is that you want to see other people healed. That's evident in your little $10 million organization. It's evident in your passion words: empower, protect, restore, inspire, encourage. probably Discover can fit in that too, but you have a heart for other people. You've been through mess and you know what it's like, and you've come out on the other side. You are proof to people that they don't have to give up. Because there can be healing. And I think that the story of your life gives you credibility to speak those words into people. Someone who hasn't been through that kind of mess can't always validly speak into someone else's heart who is. What you have to offer, I wrote yourself. You seem relatively settled and genuine and good-hearted, and so that's what we need. Everyone else, we need good-hearted, settled men. So keep it up. one thing I wrote down here that I've valued in the last couple of days is something our pastor at church talks a lot about is a need for men who are tender-hearted and thick-skinned, men who are compassionate and gentle, but can stand to be around some issues or mess and not crumble. I get that vibe from you. I think your heart is soft. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in the best way. For someone who's been through a lot of crap, your heart is very human still. It doesn't seem like you've put up a lot of walls and barriers. Or if you've worked on deconstructing them to a pretty phenomenal extent. What I wrote as things that maybe you could expect to come against you, I don't know. There's so much hope in your heart for a new love, for your kids and for a new woman. And if I was the enemy, that's where I would attack you. I pray that you don't lose hope, because hope is precious. And the enemy has done a lot of major attacks on you already. Things that are enormous and demolishing. And if I were him, my next strategy would be to be subtle and to attack you where you're tender, in your heart and in your hope, and just drop those little bits of despair once in a while until they can swell into a big oak tree of ugliness. I don't think you are a hopeless person, and I pray that you will be strong against hopelessness, and I hope that you don't have to, because I want for you what your heart wants for yourself. I think in the part of the movie where Jim Licklider is skydiving with a girl that he's going to be with the rest of his life, that's where I would tear up and the music would swell. and we'd all know that it's good. So that's what I want for you. So keep hoping, and I don't know. That's kind of what I got.
That's awesome. Thank you. Maybe that'll be your actual wedding, as you jump out and you say your vows as you're, you know.
It makes for a nice short ceremony. Yeah. It can only be about a minute long.
<That's right. laughs> Oh, I dropped the ring. Oh, no.